So an insight for you now into the new China. Desmond Shum, born in Shanghai, raised in Hong Kong, grew up poor but rose through the ranks to become a very successful businessman. He and his now ex-wife developed the largest air cargo facility in China. All of that changed dramatically, though, in 2017 when his wife disappeared. So Desmond's now telling his story in his book, Red Roulette, an insider story of wealth, power, corruption and vengeance in today's China. Story takes a twist. Day before the book was due to be published, out of the blue, gets a call from his ex-wife pleading not to publish it. He hadn't heard from her since she disappeared 4 years previously. Desmond Shum is with us from Britain. Good morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. Very keen to talk about China, but let's start with your wife specifically. Did you, when you got the phone call, did you ever expect to hear from her again or not?
I have no idea what to expect. You know, I would just want to put a spotlight on her situation and then hopefully that will help her.
What happened, do you think?
She said, she told me herself over the call that she had no contact and no news of the outside world over the last 4 years. And her mom passed away back in June this year, and she wasn't aware of it until, she came out a week ago.
Where has she been and who's been looking after her?
She didn't say any of that. One of the first questions I asked her is what's your charge? And she said that is confidential and she cannot disclose that.
Right. Why did she call?
What she called is she asked me to stop the book launch. Mm. So what happened was the Friday before, Wall Street Journal and Financial Times both printed a story of her situation of my upcoming book. So on Saturday, she said she signed a paper of temporary release. And then she called me in the middle of night here and my phone was off. And then she called my cousin and called my mom. And they left me a message and asked me to call her back. So I did that. And so she was asking me to stop the book launch.
So short of that, did you get any detail from her as to what her situation is, whether she's happy, what the charges are, what her future is, anything at all?
No, not really. I mean, her line was listened into. I mean, you know, she says it is not, but, you know, just think of it. Mm. She got this year into a dark cell for 4 years. And the day after news story broke on major media, she all of a sudden had access to her phone and asked her, you know, that can't just happen, right? I mean, well, you can't disappear for 4 years and the next day they hand you a phone and say you can call anybody anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And that's just cannot happen in China.
This whole story, I mean, in the West, it seems bizarre. What's, and this is a very general question, but what's going on in China at the moment? What the hell is happening?
I think it's two. I mean, that's two questions here. I see. It's one is her. You know, what happened to her? I mean, why would a person, you know, get disappeared for 4 years by the state and never charge or never acknowledge even taking her? I think in general, in her case, it's related to politics. You should probably associate with the wrong faction, which is now being seen as a rival of Xi Jinping. Or she was, she have knowledge of certain facts of high power politics, and she become a nuisance, and the state, you know, the current regime decided to disappear. So that's her situation. I think in general in China, it's this reverting back of total authoritarian dictatorship, and everything is about consolidation of power within the China Communist Party and within the grip of Xi Jinping.
I personally have been following China for a good number of years, right? And we're very reliant, as you'll know, on China. We've got a free trade deal. It's been very successful. And it's always seemed to us, I guess, yes, China's communist, but it wants to deal with the world. It's progressive. It's capitalist. And all of a sudden now it appears to be doing exactly the opposite of that. There's this tech clampdown, there's an education clampdown. Where's all this come from? Or was this always part of the plan?
I think China always want to to the best, all it wants to deal with the world to the best ability under their control. So I think what, I mean, we all know that. I mean, just history, Deng Xiaoping have this, you know, they call it opening and reform in 1978. It wasn't opening and reform on us for the sake of opening reform. It was the state was completely bankrupt. They have, the Communist Party have no choice but let the farmers to grow what they want to grow, and let the entrepreneur to participate in the economy because the state is completely bankrupt. So that was the starting point. It wasn't because they want to be, we will want to be like the West. So that is a golden period, I would call it. I think it's because, you know, under Jiang Zemin's time and under the first 5 years of Hu Jintao, so it's a period about 15 years, just about China entered the WTO and then until the first term of Hu Jintao ends. It was the golden period because it was, so everything is sort of loosening up, right? I mean, you have more freedom, you have more liberty, you have more press freedom, you know, economy is doing well and all that. But at the end of it, but at the back of it, the party always wants control. So you do have, you know, 89, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because they feel like, well, 89, the Tiananmen Square thing is because the party feel like we're losing grip of the situation and we need to snap back. So what happened right now is, and I chronicled in the book, you know, with my personal story, is in the by the second term of Hu Jintao, after the happening of the financial crisis in 2008, the leadership and a large, in particular, and the society at large, look at, you know, what's happening around the world, and then say, well, maybe our model is not that bad. Look at it; they are all crashed and burning, and Asia got to preserve because we hold our foreign currency level. Exchange rate, and then there's the maybe our model of state capitalism, it's not that bad. We, our model could be good. So you starting, I mean, where I was doing business, I was living in China, dealing with all these political leaders, you're starting to see them have a different sense of swagger, and they have a different, and then you start seeing the state marching forward and forcing the private sector to retreat.
Is that why you left?
Yes, because by the first term, and that was, you know, by the first term of Xi Jinping, I think 2-3 years into his you know, administration, I was looking at everything. I was like, this is really marching backward, and this is not gonna end up well. And then, you know, and then at the time I just have a divorce and all that. And then I was like, you know, probably time to pack up a decamp.
What would your advice be to a place like New Zealand? Australia, of course, has had a great deal of difficulty of late with China. So we're reliant to China, on China, to the tune of $20 billion a year. Should we be worried or not?
I think two things to say. I think first of all, just in general, it's China, it's so volatile. I mean, not just particularly in Xi Jinping time, just in general. I mean, because of policy, because of politics, and any business, or in your case, a country, need to diversify. You cannot have all the eggs in one basket. Mm. It's just too much risk inherent in a Chinese model. And obviously with this regime, so diversification is a given. I mean, I think, you know, obviously you're going to take less return because of diversification, but that's a premium to pay for safety. And then in China, in particular, around right now, you know, looking at the situation with Australia, it is how much you're willing to pay for upholding your value. It's a simple question like that. And the Chinese Communist Party would only deal in today's in situation they are in. They think they are strong enough to claim their power, their command of the world. They will only deal with you if you're acting in submission to their wishes. So if you want to continue to trade, you want to grow your trade, you have to pay a price, and that price is you need to submit your value. You're not going to talk about Xinjiang. You're not going to talk about Hong Kong. You're not going to talk about human rights. You're not going to talk about South China Sea, you know, all of that.
Fantastic. Desmond, appreciate your time. Desmond Shum out of London this morning. And the book is called Red Roulette, largest air cargo facility in China ever. Wife disappears. Worth following the story, because what I don't know is the people who are still in China, what do they make of this? So one day you're a successful business person and you're worth millions, if not billions. And Jack Ma is probably the best example or the most talked about example. One day you're worth millions, if not billions. And the next, China goes, oh, this is all different now. And then what happens to you? Are you still happy? Do you want to get out? Can you move your money around? One of the articles I read the other day said they've got to be careful, because the first thing that people do the moment they don't like it, if they've got money, is they shuffle it off normally to America, which I would have assumed is the last thing China wants to happen.